tonight you want to discuss the origin of all your problems. If you can get to the root of all your issues, complexities, impediments, blockages, crises, disasters, debacles, then you're doing very well in life. Sometimes it is said that there is no greater mistake you can make in your life than to forget what it is that you're supposed to be achieving. And often, you can see that is the case. Especially if we're blind to what the real goal of life is. As Lord Rishabhdev says in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parabhavastala, a Bodhisattva, if you forget that your goal in life is actually the profound and deep achievement of self-realization, then you suffered the greatest defeat. So we may think that I'm not forgetting my goals. You can recite a whole list of material goals that you have. Prosperity, social status, respect, a nice family that carries out all your desires. Bhakti is not against your being comfortable. But the point is that we shouldn't forget what our real goal in life is. In other words, be as comfortable as you can be in a world that is highly uncomfortable. Some of you know a story of how I was with one of my dear godbrother associates, Grace Burjan Prabhu, and we were in Perth attending a gathering at a home of devotees. They had just moved into their home and they wanted like a yajna and some kind of devotee celebration, blessings for their newly acquired home. It's a good reason to come together and chant Hare Krishna and talk about Krishna. We're always looking for excuses to do that. Excuse or no excuse, kirtaniya sada hari. So, for a housewarming or whatever you call it, why not? For a housewarming, for a house colding, whatever. As we discussed this morning at the initiation yajna, a most appropriate name for Krishna in his age of Kali is Sankirtan Kriya. Because Krishna as Gauranga Mahaprabhu always relishes when devotees come together and chant Hare Krishna. So there I was with my dear god brother at this function at the devotee's home. And so we were discussing what to say. In the renounced order of life, how was I to encourage the gathering of devotees? What should I say? I don't want to puncture the balloons. You ever go to these birthday parties where there are balloons everywhere for the kids and then one naughty kid comes along and pops all the balloons? I didn't want to do that. At the same time, Was it my duty to encourage material enjoyment? So how to walk the line? So I was discussing this great worry and remorse. What to do? He came up with a very expert solution. I think this is the best angle for you to pursue. Tell them, be as happy as they can be in a world where there's no happiness. But that way you're simultaneously not discouraging, but you're also being realistic. So what do you think? Be as happy as you can be in a world where there is no happiness. That way I can be honest to the realities, yes, at the same time not rain on their parade. So again, let's consider our goals. Supposedly, the greatest mistake is to forget the goals that you're trying to achieve. But indeed, under the influence of the material energy, that is our situation. We've forgotten what the actual goal is. Something else has taken over our mind and occupied it. We're hallucinating. In mass, we're hallucinating. Do you see it? Do you see it? Yes, I see it also. I see material happiness. And we convince our children, we convince our friends, they convince us, it exists, it exists. How did this mirage take over us? It's a very difficult question to answer going all the way back to the beginning, because the answer is beyond time. When we look for a sequence, when we look for a process, that means we're looking for time. Step one, step two, step three. That means past, present, and future. But you see, in the spiritual reality, there is simply the eternal now. Krishna has different energies. In his spiritual energy, there is simply that eternal now. And in the inferior material energy, there is this division of past, present, and future, which means conditioned life. Another way you can look at this situation is that because we are part of Krishna, we must have some independence, because Krishna is the supremely independent person, Purushottam. Because we're part of Krishna, we have to have some independence. Just like, because a drop of seawater is part of the ocean, it must have some saltiness. So yes, we do, as spirit souls, part of Krishna, have independence, and independence means you can use it or abuse it. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very interesting presentation of this independence factor. He explains that those who are eternally liberated, the Nityamukta, what do? They are always searching for Krishna's happiness. And those who are Nityapada, eternally conditioned, they are always searching for their own happiness. So this is the crucial difference between the pure liberated souls and the conditioned souls. It's all about simply, whose happiness are you looking for? I always like to explain in a way that gives everyone a sense of great relief. There is such a thing as sense gratification for real. We are not against sense gratification. The question, though, is whose sense gratification? Bhakti is all about Krishna's gratification. We're all for that. Let Krishna enjoy. That is Vrindavan. And material life, conditioned life, means I should be the enjoyer. Where's my happiness? That is the crucial difference. Now, often the question arises, why does a pure soul, part and parcel of Krishna, make the mistake of seeking its own happiness? How does this happen? How and why? But the acharyas explain that you can't argue this point and you can't wrangle about it because you're dealing with a phenomenon that is beyond time. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically points out, that as soon as you start wrestling with these inconceivable matters that are outside of time, you're filled with doubts. And then the doubts lead to anarthas. Unnecessary material complexities arising. Because you're wrestling with questions that you can't resolve with your material intelligence. Because your material intelligence is dealing with time. Your material intelligence is shaped by time. So let us be satisfied understanding that the crucial distinction between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul is simply whose happiness are you searching for? Therefore, the quest for happiness is all important. The quest for gratifying the senses is all important. But it's all about whose happiness and whose gratification are we discussing? Let's go back. Please turn off the phones. Thank you. Let's go back to the beginning of creation as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma appears on the lotus flower and, inspired by the super soul in his heart, because he's appearing from the lotus flower arising from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and then Chirodakshaya Vishnu, the super soul for the living entity, appears in his heart. And in this way, Brahma starts creating. He's Adi Kavi, as you know. The most intelligent person in the universe. In order for there to be conditioned life, there has to be ignorance and illusion. Now why would someone with Krishna, we're Krishna's parts, why would we choose something that's not Krishna? How did that happen? Again, you're reaching beyond time. And therefore, you have to be careful how you pursue this. this question, because doubts will arise simply, as I said, due to our trying to understand with a time-structured intelligence what happens before there is time. But Prabhupada gives a very interesting analogy I'd like you to meditate upon. Very practical analogy. Because devotees were pushing Srila Prabhupada. This was in France. How could we not be satisfied with Krishna? If you're with Krishna, who is unlimitedly satisfying, you'll be unlimitedly satisfied. How could we relinquish that? In other words, in plain everyday English, how do we get tired of being with Krishna when Krishna is Navayovana, ever fresh? I'm sure you've all wondered about that, yeah? Because we need someone or something to blame for our present situation. We know we're innocent, right? All right, we made a few mistakes, but how did we become caught up in such an intricate, complicated scene as material existence? Whose fault is it? How can we become tired of Krishna? He's unlimitedly attractive. That's why he has the name Krishna. So this is the example that Srila Prabhupada gave. He explained that suppose every day you're having dal rice and chapatis. And they're made very nicely. But it's not that you become tired of it. It's just one day you may start thinking, I wonder what it would be like to have some halva. So this is very subtle now. It's not that you're rejecting the dal rice and chapatis, but your mind wanders with your independence and your free choice. You start thinking, halva, I wonder. In this way, Srila Prabhupada explained that it's not that we get tired of being with Krishna, we just start thinking, I wonder what something else would be like. And that subtle beginning is where our misuse of independence starts. That subtle tendency, I wonder what something other than Krishna's service would be like. Now, Lord Brahma created with his shadow five types of ignorance. And these five types are very important for us to understand our past, present, and future situations. You can really sort yourself out by understanding these five types of ignorance from the shadow, Brahma's own shadow. And there are various ways of looking at these coverings of ignorance that come from Brahma's shadow. The acharyas give us different angles of vision. And we can learn so much from all the different perspectives. It's not that one perspective cancels out the other perspective. It's just that the phenomenon, the situation, is multifaceted. Just like you take a jewel and hold it up to the light and you turn it in different ways. We read in the Bhagavatam that first in the sequence is tamisha. Envy on the verge of anger. A very subtle difference. So what would we be envious about? How is it that envy is the original cause of all the ignorances. We envy Krishna. And there's a very thin line between that envy and anger. Can you see yourself? Can you feel yourself being like that? I will explain. Why should Krishna be the only free, independent enjoyer? You can say that with envy, and then gradually that envy turns into anger. Why should Krishna be the only free enjoyer? Can you feel that in yourself? I want to be an independent enjoyer also. I'm a religious person. I go to the mandir, I offer pranams. I put some coins in the hundi. Isn't that enough? Why should Krishna be the only enjoyer? I should also be an independent enjoyer. That's the beginning. The envy, I want to be like that, turns into anger. Why can't I be like that? You know, like a little child who can't get what he or she wants, who throws a temper tantrum. Yes, you all did that when you were little. You made temper tantrum. I want. So that is the beginning. The first form of ignorance coming from Lord Brahma's shadow. So then, the Tamishra changes to Andatamishra, in which you think material happiness is a goal of life, so much that the idea takes you over, that one life is all you have, and you must use every moment to achieve your material goals. This is Andatamishra. As the Acharyas describe, this conception that one life is all you get ruins or cripples the human spirit, because no longer do you see yourself in a system of elevation or degradation over many births. You just see this one spot life. One chance is all you get. Maybe some of you have seen fitness clubs with their logo, that one body, one life, one opportunity. The pressure is on you. In this short life, you've got to squeeze as much fulfillment, achievement, and happiness in as you can, because this is all you get. So why this craziness? This notion, which is so affecting everyone, whether they say they believe in the afterlife or not, they're so affected to squeeze every present moment. They're so desperate. And if you want to go deeper into this psychology, Krishna talks about it in Bhagavad Gita. Vitaraga bhayakrodha. Attachment, fear, anger. Krishna talks about the fear of having another life. There are even great Western philosophers who talk about this. Why would I just want life after life of the same old suffering and boredom and futility again and again and again? Why would I want that? Oh, what a fearful situation, a dreadful situation. In other words, we all know how much suffering life is. We all know how frustrating it is, how thwarting it is. And it's going to happen life after life after life? No, no. Anything but that. So that's the fear. That's part of our faulty vision, which makes one life to be the all in all. Another famous Western philosopher said that you could consider that there's this lifetime you have, which is one of many lifetimes. Life is always going on. Your life is going on and on, before this body and after this body. But why should you think that way? You could think another way. That this life is all in all. Before your lifetime, there was just nothingness. After this lifetime, there's just nothingness. So this life is just a spot amidst nothingness. Why consider your life to be one out of many lifetimes? Just consider your life to be a tiny speck out of nothingness. And leave it at that. So you see, based on ignorance, we manufacture many conceptions that destroy our life and destroy the life of others. The greatest destruction is that we misuse this human form of life. So we talked about the tamisra, the anger and envy. We talked about the andatamisra. We're so intent to enjoy that we become bewildered into such a focus on the moment. And people are glorifying that these days, you know. Live in the moment. Squeeze the moment right now. If you think too much about the future, you'll miss out on the enjoyment that the present moment can give. This is the pressure that these younger ones growing up are going to face. What are you going to do about the moment? You're missing out by thinking of the future. But people do think of the future, no matter what they say. Why do they go to school? Because they want a qualification that will improve the future. Why do they have home insurance? To safeguard against the future. But when it comes to bhakti and applying Krishna's instructions, oh, that's not necessary. Why are you thinking so much of the future? When it comes to education, career advancement, home insurance, car insurance, oh, think about the future. When it comes to Krishna, that's not necessary. You're ruining the present moment. Just see the madness. So tamisha, andatamisha, and then tamas. All five are ignorance, but tamas is a particular type of ignorance in which you have no spiritual knowledge. You may even have religious beliefs, but you have no knowledge of the spirit soul. What to speak of knowledge of the supreme soul? And that ignorance leads to a further perverse situation. Moha. False egotism. I don't have any spiritual knowledge, and you know what that means. I am this body, and everything related to my body is mine. As that moha deepens, as that false ego deepens, you become more and more attached to matter. In other words, it's not an innocent thing to have the false ego, to be in moha, illusion. Someone might say, all right, You think you're not the body. I think I am the body. But we're both human beings. We're both neighbors. We're both family members. We're both living in the world. No. Making that mistake of moha, bringing about the false ego of our thinking we are the body and mind, produces attachment that is always increasing. This takes a while to understand, I conclude. Because we might think, well, so what? Like these young ones here might think, well, we've heard it before since we were little, we're not the body. Right? So what? They go to school, they see their fellow students at school, they see the media, and okay, that person is functioning, I am functioning, what's the difference? But this moha produces ever-increasing attachment. Now you might say, well, what's wrong with attachment? But attachment to the material leads to suffering. Because it's not natural for you, the spirit soul. So that's the fourth of the five types of ignorance produced by Brahma from his shadow. But number five is even more intense. Mahamoha. That means, yes, you already think you're the body. You already think everything in relation with the body is yours. And you furthermore, in the stage of moha, you produce alliances and connections all based on the body. This is my family. These are my people. This is my country. This is my gender group. This is my ethnicity. All that is part of moha increasing the attachment. And because there's attachment, there must be suffering. So then, mahamoha, the fifth and final stage, means you're busy, you're trafficking in all these artificial networks of bodily attachment. You're madly racing back and forth, dealing with this attachment, that attachment, this bodily group, that bodily alliance, these bodily connections here, those bodily connections there. You're like a mouse running through a maze from one form of moha to another. That's mahamoha. You get very enmadened by the whole illusion, and you are like a squirrel. You're running here and there. This attachment, that attachment. And we call that progress. So if you study this scheme presented by Lord Brahma, you can clearly see what is the situation of human society today. Now we mentioned that acharyas can show us different aspects. It's not that one is canceling out the other. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur likes to start with tamas, ignorance, as number one. Remember, there are all five types of ignorance. But he likes to start with ignorance because he says without that first ignorance, nothing else, no further illusion is possible. Both ways of looking at the situation are essential and important. When you read Prabhupada's purport, he starts with the tamishra, the envy, the original envy against Krishna. And that is very motivating for us. Who am I trying to imitate? Who am I envious of? And then we can see how we relate to others in such
an artificial way.
Based on that original envy of Krishna. Why should Krishna be the free, independent enjoyer? What about me? Which brings us to the subject I like to call severance package happiness. In Australia, you have severance packages? Yeah. When you're terminated from your job, sometimes they give you a severance package. Or do they call it here? Just making you redundant. But they also give severance packages. So this is what we are trying to exploit and enjoy. Severance package happiness. Cut off from Krishna. We think we're getting big benefits. I forgot Krishna. So what? Just like these young ones can think, oh, our parents are Krishna Bhaktas. Ah, so what? We're going to find our own way. Let us find out what this severance package happiness is all about. Severance from Krishna, disconnection from Krishna. It's hard for us to accept that I am meant to function for happiness in relation to Krishna. Just like the hand is meant to function for the well-being of the whole body. Such a simple example. But it's so hard for us to live in that way unless we vigorously take up the bhakti process of purification so that we can become enlivened with reality. Reality means the unlimited attractiveness of Krishna. So severance package happiness means the artificial happiness we think we're relishing and enjoying in our state of being disconnected from Krishna, in our state of having forgotten that we are part of the complete whole, the Om Purnam. I believe strongly in repeating this again and again because I've had the experience of hearing Srila Prabhupada say this example again and again. And he would even preface his presentation of it by saying, as I have explained so many times. And he would give the same example, which you all have heard so many times. Yes. You young ones have heard it so many times since you were little, right? What are the tree at the roots? All the branches blossom. The purpose of the hand is to bring the food to the mouth. The food goes to the stomach. The whole body energizes. Everyone has heard it so many times, right? And we've all realized it perfectly. As soon as some new person comes to the mandir, immediately bring out that example. What are the tree and the root? All the branches blossom. So yes, I heard Srila Prabhupada speak that example so many times. But then, at a Rath Yatra in San Francisco in 1975, Srila Prabhupada was on stage and he was speaking for the Rath Yatra event. And he started again with that same example. I have said it so many times. The purpose of the hand is to bring the food to the mouth, so on and so forth. Suddenly, I caught it. That is what constant hearing can do. Sometimes persons say, why are the points that Srila Prabhupada in his purports repeats again and again and again? Did you ever wonder that? He's telling you in a nice way that we're really not so sharp. Parents of little children, no, you have to say the same thing again and again, right? Yes? Your parents? They had to repeat something again and again? Huh? Your parents? They had to say the same thing to you over and over again? You got it all the first time. No, the parents know that the children can't retain it all, and you have to say it again and again, and one day it starts to click. So similarly, the spiritual parents know we're not really as sharp as we think we are. Otherwise, why are we so deep in material existence? So again and again, you'll find in the Bhaktivedanta purports, very crucial themes are repeated throughout the Bhagavatam. And that's for our benefit. We're not so smart. If we were so smart, why are we in material existence? So it's a humbling experience to realize that we're not as intelligent and competent as we think we are. Real happiness only means in relation to Krishna. But we're bombarded by these artificial constructs, these artificial concoctions known as happiness and distress, sukha and dukkha. We're constantly battling with these artificial constructs. So much so that we forget the real goal of life is Krishna's happiness. And because we're part of Krishna, naturally, when we satisfy Krishna, naturally, we'll be satisfied. But we're in such anxiety about our own happiness. That is especially the gift of the West to the world. Be in anxiety about your own happiness. Of course, in India, the traditions are breaking down rapidly. But still, those of you from India know that duty consciousness is still there. You must do your duty. Why? Because you must do your duty. Those who are under 30, you're rapidly rejecting all that. But you know, your grandparents especially, they're like that. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because it's my duty. Why are you doing your duty? Because it's my duty. The deep reasons why to do something as your duty, that's been forgotten. So, this duty consciousness is indeed a step up from just think about your own happiness in the present moment. But if you don't understand why there are social duties and obligations and responsibilities, very quickly, those duties and obligations and responsibilities will be thrown off, especially under the pressure of so much propaganda to just enjoy the moment. In other words, especially those of you who go to our retreats, we focus on the students and young professionals. You know that life in the West is always pushing you just to squeeze every moment. And that kind of life looks so fascinating and free. Many of the young students, young meaning university students who come to Australia from India, they confess to me. I have to pull it out of them. You know. But then they confess. Yes. What attracts us about life in Australia is that you can just be free of duties and obligations. You don't have to worry about what your grandmother in Gujarat is thinking. You can just be and do things that normally you wouldn't do. And no one cares, and no one knows. So they admit to me. It becomes fascinating to them to walk on the wild side. Not to do that every day like the Australians, but maybe just 2 days a week. That's the superior way. The superior way of barks is not 7 days a week. Instead of Kama Sindhu, it is Kama Bindu. The Wild West is Kama Sindhu, the ocean of lust. But the superior way of Bharat is Kama Bindu. Just one drop here, one drop there, another drop there. I once gave a lecture in Mumbai at Chopani Temple, and that was the theme. Kama Sindhu versus Kama Bindu. We're so susceptible. We're easily influenced by materialistic propaganda. We desperately need the association of devotees to immunize us against that contamination, because the propaganda is so intense. Be free. Feel free. You have no duty. You have no obligations except to your own senses. Sounds liberating, doesn't it? And this is what your children have to face as they're growing up. This constant onslaught of propaganda. Just do what your senses want. And you'll be happy. Be in anxiety only about your own happiness. Don't worry about duties, commitments, responsibilities. That's so old-fashioned. It's all about you and your senses. And people think that that kind of approach to life is very liberating. It frees you up. But actually, it's the most miserable kind of life. So I was explaining a few nights ago to students at Melbourne Uni how crushed they are under the burden of so-called happiness. Every moment they have to question themselves, am I happy right now? It's been 10 minutes now. Am I happy? It's like, you know, a person's checking their smartphone, you know, every 5 minutes. Did I get a text message? Someone WhatsApp me. Same thing. Am I happy? It's been 10 minutes. Am I being entertained right now? This is how the vitality of the human spirit is being destroyed. This false burden of always thinking of our own happiness and feeling guilty. Gosh, I haven't been happy for an hour. What's happening? What's going on? So this is the kind of world we live in now, and if it goes on like this, it'll be much more intense for your children. So I was explaining to the students at Melbourne Uni that you can't even have relationships anymore without this overpowering guilt of happiness. I think I'm with the right person, but can I be sure? Is this person really making me happy? You have to ask yourself that at every moment, otherwise you're not a genuine human being. So you're so overwhelmed by this happiness insecurity. And then you have this illusion that everyone else is happy. What about me? Happiness exists. I see it. I see happiness. But why am I not getting it? Others are getting it. See, we become convinced it exists. Brahma's shadow exists. Now, Brahma in the Bhagavatam, you read, he wants to cast off that shadow, which is like giving up a body. But Brahma, he lives his full lifetime, 311 trillion years. He doesn't give up his body like we do, but he casts off various mentalities. So he's eager to throw away that mentality. That mentality is necessary for those who want severance package happiness. The so-called happiness of your being cut off from Krishna. And that so-called happiness, that severance package happiness, is mixed with such anxiety. And that's what you see going on more and more today, even in the name of progress. As I said, people are so insecure and paranoid. Am I happy right now? Am I being entertained? Is this person I'm with making me happy? It's been 1 hour. Have you done something to make me happy? This mentality is destroying human life. The teachings of Bhakti Yoga are essential for our basic well-being. We are part of Krishna. How can we experience happiness separate from Krishna? Just like if one of these young guys here decided, I am leaving home. How old are you?
12.
I'm leaving home. I'm 12 years old. I'm packing my day pack and I'm going out. I'm going to live on the streets. Everyone would be horrified. He wouldn't know what to do. He would immediately think, who's going to take care of me? Where will I go? Where will I sleep? Who's going to feed me? Who's going to give me money? Right? Where will the love of my parents be? Where will the warmth of my family be? He won't do it because he realizes he's part of a family. And his needs are being met in the family, especially because the family brings him to the temple, meeting his spiritual needs. So everyone can understand that when it comes to a child. But do we understand ourselves as children of Krishna? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, he's the seed-giving father of all living entities. Sarva Yonishu Kondiya. No matter what form, Krishna is the seed-giving father. But we have this mad idea that we can be happy separate from Krishna. Even though we'll easily admit that we're just tiny parts. But we don't know the complete whole, and therefore we have all this insecurity. So bhakti yoga means to rise above this severance package happiness. We want to be reconnected with Krishna. Therefore we need a lifestyle that transforms the five types of ignorance. Instead of being Krishna's competitor and acting with anger, which acting with envy that turns to anger, we want to be Krishna's servant. Let Krishna enjoy. We don't want to compete with Krishna. And that competition with Krishna even can extend into the spiritual realm in that we think, I will be equal to Krishna. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman, I am spirit, Krishna is spirit. We are all the same. Not only qualitatively, but quantitatively. That's still anger and envy in its most refined way. So the whole process of bhakti is meant to teach us what we already are. We are Krishna's servant. Once we start tasting the completeness of being the servant of the complete, then we understand what real life is all about. So these five types of ignorance that Brahma created via his shadow are very important for us. You can see the whole scheme of what is happening in life by understanding those five forms of ignorance. Dhammistra, Andhadhammistra, Tamas, Moha, Mahamoha. You can see what's going on clearly. Brahma has done that creation as a service to Krishna. The material world is a facility for those who want to forget Krishna. They can act according to that desire and see the results. Simultaneously, Krishna is always making arrangements for us to revive our Krishna consciousness. So, throughout the whole universe, Krishna provides contact points with devotees, contact points with himself in various forms and incarnations. And he even comes himself as Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality Godhead. So, there are two things that are always going on in this world: illusion and the opportunity to reconnect with Krishna. You understand this? Then you can understand all the mysteries of life. All right, any questions? Yes?
What make you realize all Prabhupada's examples during that chapter? Like you mentioned that.
What made me realize? He wants to know what made me realize the example that Prabhupada gave during Ratha-yatra about the hand bringing the food to the mouth. Repeated hearing. Hearing it again and again and again and again. Combined with seva, service. Those of you who have read First Canto Bhagavatam, how many have read? Raise your hand. Vasudeva Kataruchi Samaha Sevayavipra. By rendering service to the great soul, you acquire Kataruchi, the ruchi, the taste for talks about Vasudeva, talks about Krishna. So repeated hearing combined with service. That is the recipe for success. And of course, that success has no limitation. We go deeper and deeper and deeper. The taste, the ruchi, increases, increases, increases because Krishna is ever fresh. And everything about Krishna is ever fresh. Yeah?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful talk. Maharaj, you had mentioned that we started wondering something other than Krishna's service. And that's where the problems started for us. I started wondering what else could be there to enjoy.
Not what else could be there, but let me try something else. In other words, you don't lose interest in Krishna, but you want to diversify your portfolio.
Would that not be some form of lack of fulfillment at all, or?
No, that is a mistake. You are fulfilled. You're satisfied with Krishna, but as I said, you want to diversify that. Yeah. You have independence. It's hard for us to get this in our head. Independence means just that, but it's tiny independence. Just like these young ones here, they have, you can easily see, tiny independence. You're how old? 12. He can't do completely whatever he wants. He has a little scope for doing things. If he wants to take a bottle of mango pickles and smear them over the walls of his room, he can do that. But there's a limitation to how much he can do as a 12-year-old. You don't have a big bank account, do you? He's got no financial resources. He can do a little, but not much. So you can see that he has minute independence. He may dream of when, oh, I can be this, I can be that. But everyone knows you're just little. So we are like that. We have little parts of Krishna. We can dream, oh, when will I be a big enjoyer? So we need to make peace with this fact that we, as part of Krishna, have a tiny degree of independence. What is the use of independence if you have no scope for choice? Just like he's 12 years old. He has some scope for choice. It's small, though. Everyone knows. If he just runs out of the house and says, screams over his shoulder, I'm not coming back. Everyone knows. Ah, oh, you'll be back. You've ever done that? I know. So he has a tiny amount of independence. You know, his resources are very limited. Do you know how to wash your own clothes? Oh, you wash your own clothes? Oh, big independent man, you wash your own clothes. Do you buy your own food? No. Do you buy your own clothes? You buy your own clothes. You go to the shop and buy your own clothes? No. So you see, he has a little independence. How do you decide what to wear every morning? See? His mother decides what he wears. This is what it means to have minute independence. You get it now? Okay. But we're so big-headed because of the tamas, the false ego. And that false ego leads to moha, attachment. And that attachment expands from just being attached to your body to all kinds of bodily configurations. Family, society, nations, gender groups, ethnicities, on and on and on. And then you've got Mahamoha, this mad trafficking in bodily attachments. Scurrying like a squirrel here and there in a maze of bodily attachments. And yeah? Yes?
You were mentioning that the jiva misuses the independence, like diversifying the portfolio, trying to.
Yes.
So does Krishna try to nip the issue at the bud for the five types of ignorance for the developed?
Krishna is always trying. Just like a parent will plead with the child, please follow the rules at home. Please don't do this. Please study in school for the betterment of your future. Yes, your parents are telling you that.
They don't add the please.
They don't say please. the truth is coming out. We can't begin to understand Krishna's compassion and his efforts to keep his parts and parcels. We can't begin to understand them. What we can see is that Krishna is always coming. He's sending his devotees. He's coming himself. He's spreading throughout the universe opportunities to revive our Krishna consciousness. This is an anxiety that Krishna has, especially Krishna as Lord Chaitanya. It's hard for us to understand Krishna's anxiety because Krishna is Satchitananda, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So what kind of anxiety is he feeling? It's a little easier to understand that anxiety as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is pursuing the conditioned souls and flooding them with opportunities for loving Krishna. The super soul is going with you no matter what body you take. That's a real friend. Chicken body, worm body, our mama is there. Always advising, when are you going to turn toward me?
Maharaj?
Yes?
What is the purpose of please Krishna creating all the jivas?
What is the purpose of Krishna creating all the jivas? How can the Om Purnam be perfect and complete unless there are minute particles as well as the complete whole? How can Krishna be, looked at from another way, how can Krishna be the supreme controller if there's nothing to control? How can Krishna be the supreme lover if there's no one to love? You have a family, yes? Why? Because you wanted to expand the loving affairs, right?
It's very, very difficult to do in material nature.
She's saying it's difficult to live alone.
It's difficult to live alone because you want to feel there are others around you that you can exchange rasa with, loving exchanges with. Just because you're a devotee doesn't mean you don't have a human side. Every living entity wants to be surrounded by reciprocation from others. So, people have families because they don't want to live alone. They want to feel that there's a spouse, there are children, and everyone can reciprocate, have loving exchanges. So why should Krishna be alone? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Rasovai sa, the Shastra says. Krishna is the ocean of loving exchanges, and he becomes many for the purpose of expanding the loving exchanges. Even though he's self-sufficient. Just like your parents thought, oh, let us have a nice son. He will love us, we will love him. Just like a few days ago, my mother celebrated her 90th birthday. And my birthday came a few days afterwards. So she sent me a message. Now you're 68 years old. I still remember 68 years ago when I held you in my arms. And 68 years ago. This kind of feeling is something only a mother can understand. Mom, that was 68 years. I still remember holding you. As they say, a mother's work is never done, right? So just as you expand into others, Krishna is always expanding for the sake of loving exchanges. Looked at another way, as I said, if Krishna is Parameshwara, the Supreme Controller, who is he controlling? If he is complete, that means there must be the tiny as well as the infinite, the finite as well as the infinite. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, you talked about Moh and Mahamoh.
Yes.
Like everything can be used in service of Krishna. How the Moh and Mahamoh can be used, if you can give some examples.
That would require a discussion of the topmost part of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna's associates don't know he is the Supreme. They're covered by Krishna's special internal potency for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. Krishna doesn't want them to know he is Swayam Bhagavan, personality guided. He wants them to think he is our beloved friend, our lover, our son. That is the highest type of moha. All 100% for Krishna's pleasure. But that is something completely different. All right? I thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.